على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه الطاهرين وصحابته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد يا عباد الله ويا معشر المسلمين، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بما وصى به الله سبحانه وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، والله سبحانه وتعالى يقول في كتابه العزيز: وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان. الله سبحانه وتعالى says in the Quran: and if my servant or slave asks you about concerning me, then tell them that I am close and that I answer the caller when he calls. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. So let them answer me and let them believe in me in order that they might be guided. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says in a Sahih hadith: الدُعَاءُ مُخُ الْعِبَادَةِ. That dua is the bone marrow of ibadah, the essence of ibadah. If you look at the function of the mukh in the Arabic language, which is the marrow, the function of the marrow in the body is literally to produce immune cells. It is to produce the immune system which will defend the body from invaders. This is what the bone marrow's goal is. When you have bone marrow suppression in medicine, the people's immune system literally dies. It goes out and they get opportunistic infections. A dua is the mukh of ibadah. Calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the mukh of ibadah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded to say, قُلْ مَا يَحْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّدَوْ لَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. Your Lord is not concerned with you had it not been for your dua, for your calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your Lord is not concerned with you, has no concern. But the calling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is commanding us to call upon, is the calling of mukhlisin. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ. They were only commanded to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ikhlas, mukhlisin, people of ikhlas and sincerity, to literally turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ikhlas and sincerity. Ikhlas and sincerity cannot be acquired. It is not possible to acquire these things except without work on the self. There must be work on the self, or we remain in constant dangerous situations, because the dua that we call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not done with sincerity, and if there's no sincerity, there's no answer. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُ بِي. Let him answer me first, and let him believe in me. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. If we want rush, if we want guidance in this life, then there has to be this answering the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we answer the call of Allah, Allah will answer our call. We know that Yunus alayhi salam, when he was in the belly of the whale, it was the tasbih that saved Yunus alayhi salam. The tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the story of those who went to their orchards and they didn't want the masakeen to come in because their heart, there was a disease in their heart. They didn't want to share the bounties of Allah. And they said that if we had only made tasbih, if we had only been in a state of subhan, if we had only been in a state of remembrance of Allah, that's what the one who was most balanced amongst them told them, reminded them. to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the reminder of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the human species, that if we want success in this world and in the next, then we have to answer the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the call of His Messenger. But the call must be answered with ikhlas. And there is a path to ikhlas, and the path to ikhlas, to the purification, is clearly delineated in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَلَا كُلُّ شَيْءٍ يَخْطَى وَإِنَّمَا الْقَلْبُ يَخْطَى وَإِنَّ خَطَارَتُهُ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ. Everything becomes encrusted, even the heart itself becomes encrusted. بَلْ كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْتُمُونَ. Their hearts have become literally encrusted because of what they were earning. The only way to purify that is by constant and continuous remembrance of Allah and turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the ways of doing this is the five prayers. But the five prayers must be done with awareness. لَيْسَ لِلْعَبْدِ مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ إِلَّا مَا عَقَى. The slave has nothing from his prayer except what he's in a state of conscious awareness of. If the prayer is literally mechanical motion, if our deen just becomes a ritual in which there's no eternal awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the reason why we were created. Islam is not a political ideology. Whatever the ideologues say, it's not a political ideology. It's a path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And part of that path is changing our social condition that can only be transformed if we change ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us many times in the Qur'an, many times in the Qur'an, that the self must be changed first. If you look at Yunus alayhi salam, the first thing he recognized when he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words, he attributed his condition to something that he had done himself. And once he recognized that, he made it to fall and to see it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that, turning to Allah after recognition of the state that he was in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him up and took him out of that condition of complete entrapment. Complete entrapment in three veils of darkness. Took him out again into the light of the world. And placed him in his maqam as a nabi, as a prophet. Yusuf ibn Matta, alayhi salam, the brother of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam, who said, لَا تُفَضِّلُونِ عَلَىٰ أَخِي يُوسف ibn Matta. Don't prefer me over my brother Yusuf ibn Matta. This is the teaching of Islam. The political transformation comes when there's social transformation of individuals. This is the nature of Islam. When people transform themselves, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises their condition. When they become arrogant, when they think that they're chosen people without doing action, when they think that they have something that other people don't have simply by the fact that they have a name or an appearance, then this is ma'amaluhu. They reduce themselves to the station of maghdub alayhim, those who have incurred the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they don't concern themselves with scrupulousness, with awareness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a deen and a sharia, then they reduce themselves to the maqam of ta'aleen, maqam al-nasara, those who are astray and they're even not aware that they're astray. They're not even aware that they're astray, which is a wretched place to be in. The starting point is to become aware of our own condition and what we have done. One of them said, Don't listen to what other people think about you, telling you how wonderful you are, telling you these things. But he said, وَلَكِنْ تَعَرَفْ عَلَى مَا تَعْرِفُ فِي نَفْسِكَ. You have to know what you know about your own self. Not what other people think about you, what you know about your own self. And this is a danger, kibr, arrogance and pride. These are dangers that come into the heart because the heart becomes empty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And an empty heart
If that is empty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is empty to allow the shaitan to come in, to set up his dominion. Because the heart is like a city in which there is a battle of two armies. The Malaikat al-Rahman and the Ahwan al-Shaytan. This is the battle. The city is being literally, the heart is a battleground. And the borders of the city are the limbs themselves, the eyes, the tongue, the ears. These are the borders that have to be guarded. And if they're guarded, then the city is protected. But once we lose sight of the borders, once we start letting our hands do what our halal, our passion and things, once we allow our tongue to become loose, to speak about people without fear, once we allow all of these things to happen, then whether we pray or fast, our heart becomes filled with pride, with envy, with avarice, with greed, with lust, with fear. One of the Sahaba, the Sahaba in a sound hadith, the Sahaba were praising one man and saying, what a righteous man he was, how he prayed and how he fasted and this and that. And when he came into the notice of the Prophet ﷺ, who saw with the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said he had something from Shaitan in his face. He had something from Shaitan. And when the man came and sat down, they said there was a mark from the Samad Fajda on his, between his eyes. And he was fasting, and the Prophet said, Unshiduka billah, I'm asking you by Allah, when you came into this masjid, أَظَلَنْتَ بِنَفْسِكَ أَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي هَذَا الْمَسْجِدْ خَيْرٌ مِنْكَ. When you came into this masjid, did you think that there was no one better than you in this masjid? And he said, Allahumma na'am. He said, the doctor is asking to confirm a symptom. This is what the doctor does. He asks to confirm a symptom so he can make a diagnosis. And the diagnosis is pride. And pride will take us to Gehenna. So the Prophet asked him, and he was an honest man. He told the Prophet that he was a sick man. So the Sahaba looked at this outward form. The Prophet was shown, don't be deluded by outward form. فَلَا تُزَكُوا أَنْفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Don't purify yourself. Don't say you're this or you're that. Because Allah knows who you are. You see, each day is a new day. If you prayed Fajr yesterday in Jama'ah, or even if it's proper time, don't think that I have anything to do with today. Because each day is a new day, and each day is a new struggle. And this is why really we should even take off that third challenge. Just get it out of there. Forget about what we did in the past. And the exact mess is over. And we shouldn't rely on previous actions. We only have today, that's all we have. They said yesterday is a set check. You spent it, it's over. Tomorrow is a promissory note. You don't have any guarantee that you're going to get that check. And today is cash in hand. Most of you know in the corporate world, in this city, in the Silicon Valley, they don't sit around and say, oh, how great we were last year. When they bring their things together, they say, how can we be better next year? Even if they're making 75% profit from the previous year, they don't sit around and brag and boast about, look how great we are. How do we get better? Look at these people over here. We have to get better than these people. This is about dunya. Not about akhira. This is dunya. These people have it right. And they have it right, and that's why they're controlling the world. That's why they're doing it. Because they're people with purpose and intention. And when I look at what how they walk, go to San Francisco and watch how business people walk. They walk like they're going somewhere. You go to the Muslim world and watch how we walk. We walk like not only do we have all day to get there, but we don't really know where we're going. We mosey along. I read in an anthropology book this man was talking about how every religion has certain aspects. He said, for instance, there's a characteristic in the way Muslims walk. And then he began to describe how Muslims just kind of meander, and anybody that stops, they sit and chat with them. And he thought that that was Islam. But Allah just walks in the Ashika. Allah even tells us how to walk. determination. Walk with people that have something to do. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to say about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَأَنَّهُ يَمْشِي مِنْ صَبَرٍ, as if he was walking downhill.
And they said, كُنَّ نُذْهِنُ أَنْفُسَنَا لِنَا الْحَقَ بِهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
We used to wear ourselves out trying to keep up with the Messenger of Allah, because he was a man going somewhere. He was a man with intention and purpose in his life.
He wasn't simply walking around here, no. The Prophet of Allah didn't have a message, he had something to do. He had his goals were clearly delineated, and he understood what they were.
And he understood exactly where he was going.
And Allah reminded us, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ, where are you going?
If you don't know, you should find out. Because we're going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So as a jama'ah here, I mean, there's people that have said, you know, this is something to think about. People have said, this is the best community. This is the biggest center now. This, we have the most, this is ghurur. This is delusion. The moment we begin to raise ourselves up, Allah will shut us down.
مَنْ تَكَفَّرَ رَبَعْهُ
اللَّهُ وَمَنْ تَوَابَعَ رَبَعْهُ
اللَّهُ. The one who deems himself something big, Allah makes him low, because Allah is big.
الْعَظْمَةُ إِذَارٌ وَالْكِبْرِيَاءُ رِجَالٌ
فَمَنْ نَادَأَنِي فِي أَحَدِهِمَا قَطَّمْتُهُ.
Greatness is my إِذَار, and magnification is my cloak, and whoever attempts to take one of those from me, I'll break his back.
The Prophet had a camel that used to beat all the camels, and one day a Bedouin came and he beat the camel of the Prophet. The Sahaba became sad.
The Prophet said, Ma astata' shay'un fi dunya illa wada'ahu Allah.
Nothing gets up in dunya except Allah will put it down. It's the sunnah of Allah in His creation.
Because Allah is Ruhid al Rafi'ah. Allah is the exalted, and
in those attributes of Kibriya and Izzah, Allah does not. You can take attributes from Allah those attributes of Rahmah.
Allah is Ar-Rahman. We can take that sifa and try to implement it and become people of Rahmah.
Ra'ufun Rahim, the Prophet was.
But not the attributes of Kibriya and Jabbar.
We can't be that. Al-Qahir, all of these, those are who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And this is why the Sahaba of Allah were constantly checking themselves. Like I mentioned the other week, that one of the Tabi'in said, Adraktu Sab'een. And in other rewrites of the Sahaba, all of them feared Nifaq.
They all feared Nifaq. They feared Nifaq. They weren't prideful. They weren't boastful.
Allah knows who's the best community in the United States. Allah knows who has the biggest center in the United States, because Muslims do not look by quantity. They don't look by the amount of space you have. They don't look by how much you pay. They look at the quality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qualifies, not quantifies righteous action. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu brought a tray of dates for Tabuk, and Abd al-Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu anhu brought a tray of gold, he said, Wallahi, I don't know which one in the eyes of Allah is heavier in the mizan. Because each one is dealing to his capacity. And Allah knows the intentions who have a greater intention.
So we should give the capacity, but we should never become content with ourselves. Wallahi, we haven't done anything for the deen of Allah in this country. Nothing. And that's where the starting point of every Muslim every day of his life. That we are muqassirun.
That we are shortcomers in the duties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed upon us, every single one of us.
Everything. We should put each one of us, should put ourselves ahead of that list.
And remember also that we're at the end of a long line. We have 1400 years of people ahead of us. We're at the end of the line, and we should know our place. We're not Salafi. We're not Salafiyya. The Salaf went, they did what they did. تِلْكَ الْأُمَمْ قَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ.
They used to say, نِعْمَتْ خَلَتْ لنعم السلف, the best of those who went before for the best of those who come after. But if we look at that and look at our own selves, we can only say victim salaf, لنعم السلف. How short we have fallen from those who went before us. How short we have fallen. A religion of pamphlets, a religion of slogans, a religion of wrath and anger. I mean, this is what the Muslims have been reduced to. And until we raise ourselves up with humility, by changing what's in ourselves, by establishing firm goals of establishing the deen of Allah in our lives and in our families, and the starting point for this is changing the way we live and the way we perceive reality. Getting out of the mindset of kufr, of kufruni. Allah says in the Quran, remember me, of kufrum, and I will remember you. Was kufruni, wa la takfurun. And give gratitude, and don't be ingrate. Don't be ungrateful people for the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in the English language, thinking and thanking come from the same word. That gratitude, if you just think about things, you will end up thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because everybody, we are literally inundated with gratitude. This ummah from Indonesia to now back to Indonesia, because now the ummah is all over the world. We are inundated with the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَكِنْ كَرْحِيْتِكَمْ بَيْدَاءٍ يَقْتُلُهَا الظَّمَى وَالْمَاءُ فَوْقَ ظُهُورِهَا مَحْمُودٌ. We are like the camel in the desert being killed by thirst, and it's got water on its own back. We are filled with the blessings of Allah, and we should thank Allah. We should take a deep breath in and literally say, Alhamdulillah wa shukrulillah wa ma'arak, for all of these blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and leave in gratitude, and leave complaining. Stop complaining. We should just stop complaining. When you should come from that, you know, if you are grateful to me, I increase you. And the Muslims from east to west, you hear complaints. This is what you hear, complaints. We should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should also know that this is just some short period of time. Al-Quds was in the hands of the Salibiyin for over 100 years. But it was liberated. It's been in their hands for over 45 years now. That's less than half the time when the ummah was great. It might take us 200 years this time to get it back. But we're going to get it back. It might take us 200 years. It might take us 300 years. That's irrelevant. What we have to do is recognize we have to get it back. And then we set out and we plan. And we do these things in order to achieve greatness for Allah, not for our own self. And greatness so that our children can look back after we're gone, and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, and say, Ni'mat salaf. What a good people. Then we'll be real salaf. Once we're dead and in our grave, then we're salafis. For the people that come after us. So then we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we left behind people that can look to us for guidance. That can look to us and see these people, if it wasn't for them, if it wasn't for that community that established it, we wouldn't have a place to pray. You see? So it's a blessing to do those things. But we shouldn't pray ourselves. We wait, inshallah, for people to come after us. And they'll be the judges. They'll be the ones that say, what a good job they did. Or they'll be the ones like we curse the people that gave up the Muslim land. Like we look at the people who gave up Andalusia, why we look at the people who gave up Palestine and these things. What do we have to say about them other than mashallah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah is kanzun tahta al-arsh. And it's shifa'un li tis'in wa tis'in ada'an, li tis'atin wa tis'in ada'an. Adnahu al-kub. He is a cure for 99 diseases, the least of which is being in a state of depression, a state of, and just say, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Allahu Akbar. I mean, these things we've been given to say on our tongues, that their meanings might enter the heart, these are things, really, that if we take them to heart, then, subhanAllah, we achieve great things. But let those who come after us judge how great they were. Let those who come after us. We should not make blessings that go on busukum. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله.
We have a great deal to do in our local area, in this masjid, in uniting the Muslims, in bringing them together. The basis of our coming together should be the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the propagation of that deen amongst ourselves and amongst other people. But we have to become, and there's no other, as far as many of the great people of this ummah have seen, have told, that I've heard from their own words, we have to become people of death. We have to become people that are cognitively aware of their Lord. We have to become people of remembrance who established this deen. Adkuruli adkurkum. Remember me and I will remember you. Nasallah. They forgot Allah. Allah called them to forget their own selves. Allah forgot them. It's not a forgetfulness like we think. No. It's that Allah doesn't allow them to even perceive where their benefits are. So they do things that are harmful for them. Like the an'am who Allah gives them inspiration, that they don't do things that are harmful to themselves. That's why we come أَضَلُّ مِنْ أَنْعَامٍ even lower than animals, because they lose sight of even what's beneficial for them. So we should really attempt to instill in our lives the remembrance of Allah. A foundational starting point is to do the ma'thurat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every day. This is a basic foundational starting point. To learn the ad'iyah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you don't know them, to know what you say when you come into the masjid. To know what you say when you get up in the morning. Look at the Prophet's life, and all he is filled with remembrance of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what he gave us. And because of that remembrance, Allah remembered that ummah and made them great in the earth, not in the eyes of themselves, but in the eyes of others. And this is the strength of Islam. The Prophet said, نُسِرْتُ بِالرَّعْبِ مَسِيرَةَ الشَّهْرَيْنِ I was given victory by terror, put stricken into the heart of those who hate us. Why? Because they see them as great. And this becomes from the fact that they saw themselves as less than nothing. Less than nothing. One of them said, the mu'min is like earth. It's low and humble, but anything you throw on it, it only gives you back green foliage. See, this is what the Muslim should be like. People that literally take a dead earth and bring it back to life. One of the sheikhs from Syria said, he found it for a hundred when he came here. He said, the earth here is thirsty for sajda. It's thirsty for sajda. And we should teach people sajda. Even their word worship, if you look it up and what it means, the meaning of worship, to put your head on the ground in their own language. They've forgotten how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They used to know, because their own language even indicates that they knew how to worship Allah, to put their head on the ground. The most humble place a human being could be is to put his intellect right there on the ground before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Subhana Rabbil Ala. Subhana Rabbil Ala. Allah, He is the high, He is the exalted, and I am the low. I am the humble, I am the Abd, and He is the Rabb.